RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome back again in English Bulletin. As usual in today's edition, we are going to bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus also news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. Japanese Prime Minister and Emir Qatar to visit Indonesia in 2017. MSJ expects Indonesian contribution in economy. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi held 14 bilateral meetings on the past day of the 9th Bali Democracy Forum in Nusa Dua, Bali on December 8 until 9, 2016. The bilateral meetings were done with Japanese delegation, Director General of Malaysian Spearhead Group, MSG, Singapore, Nepal, Maldives, Palestine, Qatar, Timor Leste, Papua New Guinea, Libya, Tunisia, Iran, and Spain. Mr. Retno told media that the meeting with Qatar Foreign Minister Sultan bin Saad Al Muraiki and Japanese delegation led by Deputy Foreign Minister Kiyoshi Odawara addressed the peace plan of the two heads of states. Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi explained that the meeting with Qatar Foreign Minister also addressed cooperation in the fields of communication banking that had been running. She invited investors from Qatar to come and expand investment in the infrastructure field in Indonesia. Meanwhile, the meeting with Japanese delegate also addressed cooperation with focuses on trade and investment. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi held 14 bilateral meeting on the first day of Bali Democracy Forum taking place on December 8 until 9 in Nusa Dua, Bali. One of the meetings was the meeting with Director General of Melanesian Spearhead Group MSG, Aminah Yovoli. The Melanesian Spearhead Group is an intergovernmental organization composed of the four Melanesian states of Fiji, Papua New Guinea, Solomon Islands, and Vanuatu. After the meeting, Minister Retno Marsudi told the press that they discussed on how Indonesia as an associate member of MSG could boost the economic cooperation with the MSG member countries.
Dan prioritas kerjasama yang akan kita lakukan adalah di bidang ekonomi. Karena kalau kita bicara mengenai
the priority of our cooperation is economy. Indonesia is home of the biggest population of Melanesian people with around 11.5 million people. We are trying to connect the economic potential among the five provinces in the eastern part of Indonesia and the Melanesian communities in the Pacific countries. Mr. Retno Marsudi said further, they discussed also cooperation capacity building. He added that Indonesia has made a lot of cooperation and capacity building with the countries in the Pacific, in the South Pacific, and member countries of the Melanesian Spearhead Group. Indonesia is strongly committed to continuing the cooperation capacity building. Pencak silat or traditional art from Indonesia is ready to enter global stage. Therefore, various kinds of promotion continue to be done in order to make pencak silat known worldwide. In the closing of the 17th Pencak Silat World Championship on Tuesday at Gor Lila Buana Stadium, Denpasar, President Joko Widodo said that the government supports the assistance of pencak silat by talking to authorities in other countries to make pencak silat officially contested in the world's most prestigious sport event. Pencak silat is supposed to perform in the international scale. In Asian Games, it can participate. In Olympic 2020, it will participate as well, but as an exhibition. We hope that in 2024, pencak silat can be contested in Olympic. President Joko Widodo added that as the origin country of Pancasila, Indonesia can play its main role by opening social bond with 40 participating countries. In addition, he hopes all Pancasila athletes can take lessons from Pancasila, that is not only martial art, which has been known worldwide, but it also has a values of knight's attitude, wisdom, patience, sincerity, and sympathy. The 17th Pancasila World Championship, there are more than 10 art competitions and 12 competitions. Indonesia came out as the overall champion by winning 12 medals, followed by Vietnam with 5 medals and Malaysia 3 medals. Democracy is a system that is best suited to securing and sustaining pluralism in the world. It was stated by former United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan in his keynote speech at the opening of the 9th Bali Democracy Forum in Nusa Dua, Bali on Thursday. He stated that true democracy enshrines the rights and liberties of all individuals in law and institution, regardless of race, gender, or religion. Kofi Annan considers Indonesia as a perfect example of democracy and diversity.
I could not think of a better country in which to deliver this message than Indonesia, whose national motto is Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, or unity in diversity. This great nation, made up of roughly 300 ethnic groups and more than 700 languages and many faiths, spread out across a vast archipelago, is a heartening confirmation that pluralism can work.
Kofi Annan added that Bali, with unique heritage and tradition as a world tourist destination, only highlights the benefits that diversity can bring to a country. The 9th Bali Democracy Forum takes place on December 8 and 9, 2016, and is attended by a delegation from 89 countries and 5 international organizations. The theme of the forum is Religion, Democracy, and Pluralism. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Recently, Indonesia has been facing nationalism challenges for its people, so the policy of strengthening diversity education and creating dialogue for the public has been a priority agenda of Indonesian government. In response to this, researcher of Center for Political Study of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Syamsuddin Aris, at the talk so dialogue on nationalism at Auditorium LIPI in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that Indonesian people who have diversity are expected to maintain unity-based citizenship.
Kita sudah mencoba mengalami transformasi.
We have tried to experience transformation from cultural nationalism towards political nationalism. If we are back to the dream of the republic, we have to go to nationalism-based citizenship, not based on community.
Kita menuju nasionalisme yang berbasis pada kewarganegaraan, bukan keumatan.
Moreover, Syamsuddin Aris said the plurality of Indonesian ethnic reaches 1,300 ethnic in various populations. Therefore, he asked Indonesian people to keep the plurality so that togetherness and unity of Indonesia can be maintained. Minister of Marine and Fisheries Affairs, together with Special Task Force 115, captured 112 foreign vessels that were involved in illegal fishing activities in Indonesian waters. The ships were catch fishing without a proper license and documents. Minister of Marine and Fisheries Affairs Susi Pujastuti said that foreign ships often enter Indonesian waters because their own seas no longer have adequate marine resources. She remarked that foreign ships often exploit loopholes in order to fish in Indonesian waters, including by cooperating with local officials. Minister Susi also mentioned about the news she read in foreign media stating that there are many countries currently protecting their marine resources. These countries often send foreign illegal ships entering their territorial waters, such as Japan and Malaysia. The last item, Indonesian government has assured that the country has enough rice stocks to meet its consumption needs until May 2017. Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tulu Kita said in Jakarta on Tuesday that the rice stocks are being held by traders and state logistics agency Bulog. He noted that the traders could keep the commodity for more than 3 months, provided they have registered their warehouses. He disclosed that the government actually put in place a price control instrument through Prudential Regulation No. 71/2015 concerning pricing and storing of foodstuffs. Until now, traders are holding an estimated 15 to 18 million tons of rice stocks, enough to meet needs until May 2017. While Bulog now holds 1.75 million tons, the government has claimed that as a result, domestic rice supplies had been secured. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, our commentary today entitled The Role and Performance of the 9th Bali Democracy Forum, Nicked Optimizing. Indonesia keeps attempting to be a good example in terms of democracy. At least, this is evident when a number of foreign ministers are attending the 9th Bali Democracy Forum in Bali for 2 days. Opened by President Joko Widodo yesterday, the forum is aimed at not only becoming a means of exchange of experience among countries, but also helping each other in a bid to pursue mature democracy. Indonesia, as the initiator, always tries to be a good host. At this opening address, President Joko Widodo stated that in addition to being a good example, Indonesia also offers good intention to cooperate in developing democracy, to establish and to maintain peace. The offer also reflects concerns about inability to fully uphold real democracy in some countries. Take, for example, in Palestine, Myanmar, and other countries. Even there are still some countries that have not embraced fully democratic system because they still practice a monarchical system. Bali Democracy Forum is an annual meeting of Asian countries held every December in Bali, Indonesia. This forum, initiated by Indonesia 9 years ago, aims to strengthen the capacity of democracy and democratic institutions through discussion among member countries. For the first time, this forum was attended by 20 foreign ministers who represented the respective countries. Some problems about democracy still emerge in some countries of the Bali Democracy Forum participants. The problems such as intolerance and violence against certain groups become a reality in a number of countries in Asia, even in the world. The issues of Palestine, violence against ethnic minority in Myanmar, and the prolonged conflict in Syria are hard homework for Bali Democracy Forum to be seriously paid attention to. Remembering that a lot of democratic problems are faced by the world, obviously, now the existence of Bali Democracy Forum is still very relevant. Its role should be improved for the future, and its usefulness can be more real and reliable. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome to Today in History. We start from an event which occurred on December 9, the day commemorated as the Day of the World Anti-Corruption. On December 9, the world commemorates the Day of Anti-Corruption. The anniversary of the International Anti-Corruption Day is commemorated every year since the United Nations Convention Against Corruption, UNCAC, which was held in Mexico on December 9, 2003. In Indonesia, the Anti-Corruption Day began decided on December 9, 2004 as the National Anti-Corruption Day. Since that time, Indonesia commemorated the day with various kinds of activities. The commemoration of the day is aimed to promote the strategy of corruption eradication, which is more efficient and effective, to facilitate international cooperation, and to provide technical assistance in preventing and eradicating the corruption as well as increasing integrity in government, as well as attempting to achieve accountability and good management of public affairs. Our next event occurred on December 9, 1947, the Rawagede Massacre. 439 civilians of Rawagede village in Karawang were shot dead by the Dutch troops, or KNIL. The Rawagede Massacre was a massacre of the civilians in Rawagede village, located at Palongsari village, Rawa Merta, Karawang, West Java, by Dutch troops on December 9, 1947. 431 people were victims of the massacre. The incident began when the Dutch troops attacked Bekasi and thousands of people evacuated to Karawang. The battle then arose in the region between Karawang and Bekasi, and hundreds of civilian lives were lost. On September 14, 2012, the Den Haag Court stated that the Dutch government is responsible for paying compensation for the victims and families. The compensation was the amount of 1 billion rupiah for each family. We now conclude the segment of Today in History with an event which occurred on December 9, 1990, the day Lech Walesa was elected as the first president of Poland. Lech Walesa was a Polish politician and former activist of the trade union and labor institution in Poland. He was one of founders of the first independent labor solidarity in the Soviet bloc. Lech Walesa served as Poland president from 1990 to 1995 period, replacing Aleksander Kwasniewski. He accepted the Nobel Peace Prize in 1993. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Focus. Today's edition of Focus is entitled Indonesia is Ready to Help the Rohingya. Listener, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla ensured that Indonesia will help Myanmar in solving the humanitarian problems in the Rakhine State, which has befallen Muslim communities in Myanmar or the Rohingya. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said in Nusa Dua Bali on Tuesday, as released by Antara News, Indonesia wants to look for a good solution, although it really is Myanmar's domestic affair. Yusuf Kalla admitted, Indonesia is ready to give suggestions to get a better solution for Myanmar. Kalla also admitted that he is ready to fly to Myanmar to give humanitarian assistance for the victims of the ethnic conflict in the Rakhine State, Myanmar. The Vice President appraised the diplomatic approach done by Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi, who came to Myanmar on an invitation from Myanmar State Councillor Aung San Suu Kyi on Tuesday, December 6. According to Yusuf Kalla, the presence of Minister Retno Marsudi was a decision from President Joko Widodo. The President wants Indonesia to participate in solving the conflict in Rakhine peacefully. Vice President Yusuf Kalla also mentioned that Indonesia will send humanitarian assistance to Rakhine to help the Rohingya refugees. Meanwhile, during his meeting with Aung San Suu Kyi, Minister Retno Marsudi expressed Indonesia's concern toward the situation in the Rakhine State. Retno Marsudi and Suu Kyi freely discussed the situation and developments in the conflict area. Minister Retno Marsudi also expressed the importance of security and stability in an effort to continue the inclusive development in the Rakhine province. She also expressed her hopes that the Myanmarese government will keep facilitating human rights for all of the people in Rakhine, including the Muslim minority, in an effort to recover the state's stability. On the occasion, the State Councillor of Myanmar agreed with Minister Retno Marsudi on the importance of granting access for the humanitarian assistance to Rakhine from Indonesia and other countries. The demand was positively responded by the State Councilor of Myanmar. On the other side, the State Councilor of Myanmar also expressed appreciation for the support of Indonesia's development during this time of crisis. Minister Retno Marsudi also expressed Indonesia's readiness to continue cooperation in the development of education and health infrastructure in Rakhine. Related to this matter, the minister also expressed Indonesia's plan to help the development of health facility house on the 4,000 square meters land in Rakhine. In addition, as an effort to boost tolerance and harmony from the people in Rakhine, Indonesia and Myanmar agreed to improve cooperation in interfaith dialogues. Indonesia will also continue the capacity development assistance to Myanmar in the field of good governance, democracy, and human rights. Listener, that was today's edition of Focus.
Here in News in Brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi held 14 bilateral meeting on the first day of the 9th Bali Democracy Forum in Nusa Dua Bali on December 8 until 9, 2016. The bilateral meetings were done with Japanese delegation, Director of Malaysian Spread Growth MSG, Singapore, Nepal, Maldives, Palestine, Qatar, Timor-Leste, Papua New Guinea, Libya, Tunisia, Iran, and Spain. Pencak silat or traditional art from Indonesia is ready to enter global stage. Therefore, various kinds of promotion continue to be done in order to make Pencaksilat known worldwide. In the closing of the 17th Pencaksilat World Championship on Tuesday at Gorilla Buana Stadium, Denpasar, Bali, President Joko Widodo said that the government support the assistance Pencaksilat by talking to authorities to other countries to make Pencaksilat officially contested in the world's most prestigious sport event. Democracy is a system that is best suited to securing and sustaining pluralism in the world. It was stated by former United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan in his keynote speech at the opening of the 9th Bali Democracy Forum in Nusa Dua Bali on Tuesday. Recently, Indonesia has been facing nationalism challenges from its people, so the policy of strengthening the first education and creating dialogue for the public has been priority agenda of Indonesian government. Minister of Marine and Fisheries Affairs, together with Special Task Force 115, captured 122 foreign vessels that were involved in illegal fishing activities in Indonesian waters. Indonesian government has assured that the country has enough rice stocks to meet its consumption need until May 2017. Trade Minister Enggar Tiasto Lukita said in Jakarta on Tuesday the rice stocks are being held by traders and state logistics agency Bulog. That's News in Brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. Listener, the role of teacher is really important for the national development. Teachers always do their best to implement dignity for the nation and could determine the success of education in the country. Moreover, teachers also build a foundation to prepare students in developing the academic potency in the future. As an appreciation to all teachers in Indonesia or those who stay abroad, the Indonesian government decided November 25th as the National Teachers' Day. Today's edition of Miscellany, I will inform you about the National Teacher Day. The question is, why the 25th of November choose as the National Teacher Day? To answer the question, let's go back to the history of the establishment of Indonesian Teachers Association. In colonialism era, the Indigenous Teachers Organization was established in 1912 with the name the Netherlands Teacher Association. The organization is non-profitable that consists of village teacher, auxiliary teachers, principal, and school supervisors. At that time, the teacher struggle is no longer about fate, not about right equality with the Netherlands, but still struggling to independence and shouted Merdeka. In 1932, the name then changed into Indonesian Teachers Association. But when Japanese occupied Indonesia, all organizations with the name Indonesia were forbidden, schools were closed, the Teachers Association can no longer run their activities. After Indonesia's independence on August 17, 1945, the proclamation spirit has fired the implementation of Indonesian Teachers Congress on November 24 to 25, 1945 in Surakarta. Through this Congress, all teachers' organization in Indonesia has agreed to be abolished. Based on the Presidential's Decree No. 78-1994, the Indonesian government dedicated that November 25th is decided as the National Teachers' Day. The theme of the National Teacher Day commemoration is Guru dan Tenaga Kependidikan Mulia Karena Karya, for teachers and education personnel noble for work, as the theme of last year's National Teachers' Day. The theme is still relevant with the government policy to appreciate teachers and academicians toward justice, prosperity, and civilized people amid global people. The peak of National Teachers' Day 2016 will be held on November 27 in Sentul International Convention Center, Sentul, Bogor, West Java. President Joko Widodo also planned to be present, which will be attended by 10,000 teachers. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the next Miscellany.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are listening from. Welcome back to our show Music Corner, a musical program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern. In today's edition, we will introduce a pop dangdut singer, Ivan Mansur, son of one of the most famous dangdut singer in Indonesia, Mansur S. Let's listen to a song entitled Bukan Sandiwara by Irfan Mansur. Happy listening.
Kekasihku yang tersayang, aku yang kini Oh, aku cinta.
Listener, often in our communities and in everyday life, we hear of a proverb in which water on a roof falls into a bucket, like the talents of a child falling from her parents. How children come to possess qualities can come from their descendants, like parents or grandparents, or from their family environment. This proverb is related to Irfan Mansur's Dangdut talent, which was descended directly from his father, who is also a famous Dangdut singer in the country. If we see the color and range of the vocals from Irfan, they are not much different from his father, despite the fact that fewer colors have awakened from within Irfan. Sometimes, if we are not listening carefully to the sound of Irfan, we may suspect that we are hearing Mansur S, his father's voice. Let's have a listen to the next song entitled Hujan Gerimis by Irfan Mansur. Happy listening!
Selalu terbayang, namun
Listener, many dangdut fans in the country prefer the story as outlined in the lyrics while enjoying the dangdut song. When a dangdut song is about a story of daily life, the song will very quickly explode in the market. An example of this is a dangdut song that is not too difficult of a poem to understand, one that is very quickly accepted by people, such as song like Alamat Palsu, Jandaku, and others. However, Irfan songs refer to the individual stories experienced by the individual, like the following song entitled Pengorbanan. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Pengorbanan by Irfan Mansur. Happy listening. Listener, pengorbanan is a barometer for someone who is without sacrifice, impossible to be materialized whenever we are going to reach out. That a sacrifice cannot be separated from the struggle to reach our expectations, including our hopes to have someone we know well love. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to our last song entitled Hanya Kamu by Irfan Mansur. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.